We read the Word of God together. We turn to the Gospel according to Matthew, Matthew chapter 7, reading verses 13 and 14. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gates, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Well, I wonder if you've ever played the game Either Or. It's a very simple game where you ask someone a series of either or questions. It's a fun thing for children to play. It's even a good thing for couples to play with each other. It's actually a really good way to get to know someone better. Two options are set out, and you have to choose one or the other, either or. For example, tea or coffee, fruit or vegetables, Spider-Man or Batman, a letter or an email, a movie or a concert. You could go on and on. Either or. In these verses we've just read, Jesus sets before us an either or situation. Two options are laid out and he wants us to choose one or the other. But this time it's not a game. No, this time it's serious. In the form of a very simple illustration, Jesus explains there are two ways to live, two paths, two roads, and all of us on this journey of life, we must choose one or the other, either or. And it just might be that the circumstances of our day have forced you to stop and think a little bit more about your life's journey. With coronavirus, our world has been gripped by a global crisis unlike anything we have seen before. And perhaps in these days, you're a little bit more open to thinking about God and faith and Christianity. Perhaps before all of this, you would never have walked into a church building for a meeting. But things are a little bit different now. And here you are. And in the next, what have we now, 20 minutes or so, I want to help you think clearly through this either or scenario. All of us, we are on one road or the other. Jesus makes it quite clear, only one road leads to life. And I would like to urge you, I would like to persuade you to enter this road if you are not already on it. It's my earnest prayer that you would become a Christian. In our church family, we've been working our way through this part of the Bible. It's Matthew's account of the good news of Jesus. And as we come to these verses, we're actually coming towards the end of what's called the Sermon on the Mount, probably the most famous sermon Jesus gave. Initially, it was his disciples, his closest friends and followers that gathered around him. But as the end of the sermon suggests, it appears that a great crowd has gathered in. And having set forth the characteristics and qualities of the Christian, we can almost picture Jesus now looking his hearers square in the eye and asking them, "Where do you stand?" So while this is certainly a message for visitors, it is a message too for those of us who have been following along all throughout this series. And it asks all of us, where do you stand? What road are you on? Because it's either one or the other. And to help us grapple with these issues, Jesus mentions two sizes of gates. He mentions two types of road. He speaks of two sets of travelers. And then he speaks of two final destinations. And we want to work our way through those four sets. So let's think firstly, either the wide gate or the narrow gate. Either or, either the wide gate or the narrow gate. One of the roads Jesus describes as having a wide gate. It's a gate that looks very inviting. It's a gate, you don't have to leave anything to enter through it. You don't have to take anything off. You don't have to throw anything aside to enter through this gate. In other words, you can come as you are. You can remain as you are going through this gate. There are no restrictions with the wide gate. There are no confinements, no demands to enter through it. Nothing has to be left behind at the broad gate. It's therefore very appealing. And in some ways, the motto of this road and this way, the sign that could be on this gate could be, come and do as you please. Feel free to suit yourself. Anything goes. Anything goes. And it speaks, of course, of the way of the unbelieving world. Anything goes. Within reason, you can do as you please. And it has, of course, tremendous appeal. It's interesting, Jesus does not tell us, don't enter the wide gate. He doesn't warn us to stay away from it. Why so? Well, because we've already entered it, friends. We've already entered it. There is a real and true sense that we enter the wide gate when we're born into this world. That's where we are naturally. By virtue of being born, we've already entered through the wide, broad, inviting gate. Jesus does tell us about another gate. And it's a gate that has to be looked for and searched for. As the end of verse 14 describes, it's a gate that has to be found. Those who find it are few. He tells us at the start of verse 13 that we must enter by the narrow gate. In other words, it demands conscious action to go through this gate. It demands an active decision. We need to think about it. We need to resolve to enter through it. But this gate is not quite so inviting, is it? He speaks of it being narrow. It's restrictive. It's demanding. It's the opposite of anything goes. To enter through this gate, you must leave things behind. You must leave behind a sinful, worldly lifestyle. It might mean leaving friends behind. It might mean leaving relationships behind. You can't bring your sins with you on this gate, holding on to them. And do you see that this narrow gate, it speaks of boundaries and limits, restrictions upon your beliefs and your behaviours. And it speaks, of course, of beginning the Christian life. And Jesus describes it as a narrow gate. That is to say, coming to Christ, it's not a straightforward, easy thing. And that might surprise you to hear me say that, but it's essential for you to hear it. If you're to be a Christian, you must enter by this narrow gate. So those are the two gates, either the wide gate or the narrow gate. Either or. Gates, of course, lead to ways. So let's look, secondly, either the easy way or the hard way. Either the easy way or the hard way. The wide gate, Jesus says, leads to an easy way. This word easy, it could mean broad, it could mean spacious. In other words, there's comfort, there's ease along this way. You can amble along it and you don't even feel like you're travelling. No steep hills, no rough surfaces, you might say, This road, it's got a good surface on it. You could say it's downhill all the way. In other words, the way of the unbelieving world is by and large a way of comfort and ease. Now that's not to say it's always easy and pleasant. Not at all. A life of sin does bring with it its share of pain and sorrow. But this way is broad and wide and flat, Jesus says. In other words, you can be king of the road on the broad way. You can live however you want to live. You can call all the shots. You can make all the rules, whatever you please. No boundaries, no limits. Anything goes on this road. That the broad way is for the broad-minded. Just go with the flow. On the other hand, Jesus tells us the narrow gate, it leads to a hard way, a difficult way, a narrow way. This road is rough and unlevel, and the hills on it are steep. That is to say, the Christian life, it's not an easy life. It's a life of affliction and trial. It's a life that's restrictive, often painfully restrictive. There are places you can't go, things you can't do, experiences you can't participate in, just because you're a Christian. It will mean being left out of things. It will mean losing out on things. It will mean missing out on things. Just because you're a Christian. And not to mention the invisible battle we're engaged in against Satan, our great enemy, and the sin that still lies within us. You will have to fight every day against temptation, and you will be knocked down and battered by the world. You must be aware of that, friend. You should expect difficulty in this way. It's a hard way, Jesus says. And for all of us, our path in life, it's either the easy way or the hard way. And at this point, we're probably beginning to think, oh, Jesus, you are not doing a good job of persuading me to enter through this narrow gate. Jesus, I want my friend to listen to these verses, and this does not sound like a persuasive job at all. I mean, none of it sounds very enticing or appealing. Well, if you think that, just look at what he says then about the two sets of travellers on the two respective ways. We think, thirdly, either the majority or the minority. Either the majority or the minority. We begin again with the wide gate, which leads to the easy way. Jesus says there are many on this road. It's popular. There's company on this road. There's something comfortable about being among company, isn't there? About being in a crowd. That's pre-COVID-19, of course. There's something popular, something comfortable about being in a crowd. We're a little bit like lemmings in that respect. For instance, we don't really enjoy going into a cafe or a restaurant if no one else is in it. If it is completely dead and empty, it suggests that it's not really that good, doesn't it? We have a saying, a crowd attracts a crowd. All these people, they can't be wrong, we think. And that's the scenario Jesus describes on this broad road. Look at all these people, you say to yourself. It's very easy then to just go with the flow and to be carried along, to follow the crowd. On the other hand, when we look at the narrow gate, which leads to the hard way, Jesus says those who are on it are few. That is to say, it's an unpopular way. It's the way of the minority. It's the way of the few. You're somewhat isolated when you're on this way. Conspicuous, unpopular. Do you see, in becoming a Christian, you instantly become unusual. It's not popular. Most people are on the other road. But the Christian is making a break from all of that and coming aside from the world and the crowd and the vast majority. At this point, it should be becoming abundantly clear to all of us the stark difference between these two roads, the striking contrast between these two ways. That's a big emphasis of the Sermon on the Mount, actually. You see, some people seem to believe that being a Christian, it's not very different from not being a Christian, that the two ways of life are quite similar. Not at all, Jesus says. One way begins with a wide gate, the other a narrow gate. One way is easy, the other is hard. One way is the way of the majority, the other the way of the minority. Either the broad road or the narrow road. And do you see the honesty of our Lord here? It's quite refreshing, isn't it? His honesty. The broad road, it seems to have everything going for it. It's easy, it's popular, it doesn't ask anything of you. But the narrow road is restricting and demanding and lonely. And maybe you're beginning to think, why would anyone choose the narrow road? It sounds awful. And that's important to note, isn't it? Jesus does not deny the attractions of the broad road. In fact, he draws attention to them. In many ways, the broad road is inviting and pleasant and attractive. And our Lord knows that, and he underlines that. Why? Well, surely it's because he doesn't want people to follow him for the wrong reasons. Surely he doesn't want people to follow him in the hope of ease and comfort. And sadly, many do. Many think the Christian life, well, that's the easy, comfy, even the trendy way to live. But when they find that it's not, sooner or later what happens is they give up, they abandon the faith. And the path they thought was the Christian path was only ever the broad road. And Jesus doesn't want that. It's bad for everyone. So there's nothing of the hard sell here. He's not like your smarmy door-to-door salesman who is trying to win you over with false promises and assurances. No, instead, openly and honestly, Jesus has set out the two ways before us. And now at the end, he gives the great overwhelming reason why you should leave the broad road and enter onto the narrow road. Let's think fourthly then, either the way to destruction or the way to life. Either or, either the way to destruction or the way to life. After all, that's the one fundamental question you need to know about any road, isn't it? Where does it go? Where does it go? That overshadows everything else. Nothing else really matters, does it? If you're on the wrong road to the wrong place, it's no use, it's no comfort to say, well, it's a lovely road, isn't it? They have a great surface down here. And look at all the traffic that's going the same direction. None of that counts if you're on the wrong road to the wrong place. And yet, this is the one question people never ask about their life's journey. They never ask, where is it going? They never ask, where am I going to end up? That's the one thing they don't think about. And they look at Christians and they almost feel sorry for Christians. So narrow-minded. They're with all their stuffy little ways and they almost look with pity on us. But they never ask the one fundamental question: where am I going? And if you're not a Christian friend, let me ask you that question. Where is your life going? Where is your life going? Jesus makes it plain here. The well-travelled broad road, with its wide gate and its easy way, it leads to destruction. It leads to destruction. It leads to the loss of everything good. It leads to judgment. It leads to hell. It leads to the place where God's unlimited wrath and anger against sin is poured out continually and eternally, a place from which there will never be deliverance. And you need to think about that. Without Christ, your life is going to utter destruction and eternal ruin. On the other hand, the other road, the road of the minority with its narrow gate and its hard way, where does it go? Jesus tells us it explodes into everlasting life. Life, real life, abundant life, everlasting life in all of its fullness and joy. And if you're on this road, the right road, friend, you need to remember that you're on the road that leads to life. And when the going gets tough, and it will, and when you get tired, and you will, and when you're discouraged, and you will get discouraged, you need to remember you're on the road to life. You're on the road to heaven, to glory. That's the question you must ask about any journey. Where does it go? And so you have these two ways: the broad road and the narrow road. We're all going one way or the other. There's no middle ground. It's either or. And would it not be utterly foolish if you know that you're on the wrong road, and yet to persist in it? Surely that would be a foolish thing, wouldn't it? It's my prayer, it's my hope that you would see that. In fact, I don't think it's too much to assume that given the choice, you would want to live. COVID-19 has made that abundantly clear, hasn't it? People want to live. I assume you want life. And maybe you're asking about how to live. Well, it's not too late. The gates to the narrow road that leads to life, it's lying wide open in front of you. The gate is open. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 9, I am the door. I am the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. So how do you move from the broad road to the narrow road? How do you change from the way of destruction to the way of life? You enter by leaving behind your sin. The Bible calls that repentance. And by entrusting yourself to Christ. He's the door. He's the gate. He's the way and the truth and the life. And if and when the way gets difficult and narrow and lonely, you remember Jesus walked this path before you. He walked this path for you. And you keep on looking to him. And it is then my earnest prayer that the Spirit of God would move you from the broad road to the narrow road, that you might step onto this glorious road that leads to the life of heaven. If you'd like to discuss any of these things further, I would love to do that. Please feel free to email me at robertmccollum@gmail.com. But let me close with some words from Moses in the book of Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you may live. Choose life that you may live.